The story goes that a missionary decided to go up into the mountains of East Tennessee and do mission work. He went in among the people that were not unlike some of my ancestors, who seldom got away from home and seldom heard the news that was going on and even got the Grand Ole Opry on Monday night. He went to this certain place, crossed the creek, saw an older gentleman sitting on the front porch, and walked up to him and said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" The gentleman said, "No, sonny, my name's Jones. The Christians live over in the next holler." He said, let me ask that another way. He said, "Are you lost?" "Well," he said, "sonny, don't reckon I am. I've lived here about 75 years. Well, he decided he'd try one more approach. He said, "Mister," said, "let me ask you, are you ready for the judgment day?" The old gentleman said, "Sonny, when is it?" "Well," he said, "it could be today or it could be tomorrow." He said, "Well, sonny, when you make up your mind, let me know. I'm sure my wife will want to go both days." You know, I've laughed about that too. But there may be enough truth in that that even applies to us today that it becomes less than a laughing matter. Because so many people are confused about the judgment day, about the Lord's return, and the events that are associated with it. The lectureship this week at Fried Hardeman is around the theme of the Lord's coming, the Lord's return. And by the way, we are thankful that so many of you are already here for this week and are in our midst this morning. And we are also thankful that there are some of you even from the community who are visiting with us today, and we are just so glad that each of you is here. The lectureship will begin tonight at 7:30 with Brother David Leip speaking on At His Coming. But I think it might be helpful to us this morning to think about some of the general things about this subject. And I want to do it especially looking at the verses that David read a few minutes ago from Matthew 25. I would guess that as he read those verses, you did not even notice the two words that I want to emphasize today. I would guess that you saw the Son of Man, that you saw the idea of his coming, that you saw the idea of the separation, the sheep and the goats. But did you notice the word "when" and the word "then"? When and then. You may not have even noticed that our last two songs started with the word "when." And the third song back emphasized the word "then" in connection with the Lord's return. When he comes, then shall he sit on his throne. When and then. As we consider the word "when," I want you to notice in the first place that it is not the word "if." Jesus did not say, "If the Son of Man comes," because he knew it was not a might or a maybe or just a possibility. He knew that it was the real thing. He knew that it was going to happen. He did not even discuss whether or not it would happen. He started this sentence with the word "when," which in a sense is an acceptance of the fact that it is going to take place. Not an if, but a when. The word "when" is suggestive of the time element involved. And people today, it seems to me, have a tendency to go to one of two extremes relative to the when. There are those who are constantly indicating that the Lord's return is imminent. And I thought it interesting that even one of the articles, at least, that I read in the Jackson Sun this week, talking about the lectureship that's coming up, had some statements in it that indicated that the Lord's return is going to be soon, in the sense of maybe not very long in the future. Sometimes we use the word "soon," as we did in one of our songs today, to indicate that it's certainly not as long as it used to be, or it could be not too far in the future, but many are suggesting soon in the sense that it's just around the corner, and are talking about the last days as though that phrase meant the last days of time instead of the last dispensation of time. Some of you are old enough at least to have been there, though you may not remember, about 1914. And some dates along there where there was a prediction of the Lord's return. And since then, and maybe even before then, but especially since then, almost every year somebody is predicting a certain time that the Lord is going to come. I remember about 6 or 7 years ago, there was a man in Jackson who published a little book and said the Lord is going to return, I believe it was in September of the next year. He gave a month and a day. That time came and he didn't return, so he published an article that he had made a one-year mistake. And it would be the following year on that same day. The Lord didn't come, and haven't heard from him since. And yet today there are those who are predicting. Sometimes there are groups of people who will quit their jobs and move into some kind of a community situation with the idea the Lord's coming in the next few days and we're going to be ready for him. That is a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches, because we don't know when the Lord is going to return. And you only have to back up just a little bit. In fact, it's at the same opening in my Bible in the 24th chapter where he says in verse 36, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." In verse 42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come." In verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not." That's just the opposite of what we've just been discussing. "Such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh." And there is a discussion here and in other places that suggests that when you see these signs and so forth, don't listen to what people are saying. Someone says, "Oh, he's out in the desert." He says, "Don't listen to that. You don't know when the Lord is going to come." And yet there are those today who say we have wars and rumors of wars, and we have earthquakes and we have pestilences. Has there ever been a generation that did not? We are somewhat free of war, and yet every newscast is talking about that something may happen in the next day or so, that we will not be free of war, even as far as our country is concerned. We don't know when the Lord is going to come, and when those predict that he's coming today or tomorrow or next year or 5 years from now, you can rest assured, if you believe the Bible, that when Jesus says when here, he doesn't give the date. And this statement that we are reading, you see, was written over 1900 years ago. And at that time, he says, when the Lord comes. That means that it's uncertain as far as the date is concerned. But folks, it means it is certain as far as the fact is concerned. And to the other extreme, from those who try to predict the date, is the extreme of those, and this may include some of us, who think that he could not come today. That it just could not be today or tomorrow. You realize there's a possibility that there would not be a lecture that is planned, given this next week? The Lord could come between now and 7:30 tonight. Now that's the reason that we need to go back and emphasize this in verse 44. "Therefore be ye also ready." What we tend to do is meet the error that we believe is error, and try to say to people, "Oh, you can't predict," but we may be overlooking something else that's here. "Be ye also ready," because you don't know when the Lord is going to come. And between that and our text in the first 10 verses of the 25th chapter is the story of the 10 virgins. You remember five of them were foolish because they weren't ready when the bridegroom came. They knew he was coming, but seemingly they thought they had plenty of time, or somebody else would take care of things for them, and they were not ready when the bridegroom came. And if I had to choose between those who are trying to predict when the Lord is coming and those who are convinced, at least subconsciously, that he couldn't come today, I'd rather be with the first. Because what a terrible thing it would be for the Lord to come and us not be ready. My dad made a living trading in livestock. He traded in a way that he had a pickup truck, and he would go out to different people and buy a calf here and some pigs there and take them to the sale, make a little bit on each one of them, and he made a living and supported our family that way. When I was a younger boy, there was nothing that I enjoyed doing any more than going with Dad to pick up some animals. His schedule was not certain. He might come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and unload some and go back to get another load. He might come in at 6 or 7 at night and unload some and need to go back and get another load. And it didn't take me long, even as dumb as I am, to realize that the best chance I had of getting to go with him was to be ready whenever he came. When I got off the school bus in the afternoon, about 3:45 or a quarter till 4, I got off changing clothes. I really didn't until I got in the house. But I wanted to get to the barn and get my chores done and get my cow milked and get everything done so that I was sitting ready. If Dad came in, I could be where he was unloading them as quickly as he could. And when he got ready to go for the next load, I was ready. I got left a few times, and it didn't take me long to learn. Folks, I think that's what it's like as far as the when is concerned of the second coming. You've heard the statement, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. That's not a morbid statement. That's a wonderful statement. You're really not ready to enjoy each day of life until you have your life such that if the Lord were to come or he were to call you from this life, you are ready. See, if you're ready, it won't make any difference when it happens. Be ready when the Lord comes. Now think about that word, then. When, then. And I want you to notice that there's no time elapsed between the two. In fact, one passage, the area that we'll be noticing in a few minutes, says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there's no space really between the when and the then. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then what? Number one, he'll sit on his throne. Number two, before him will be gathered all nations. Not just the good first and the bad later. They'll be gathered all nations. Then shall he sit upon his throne of his glory, and he shall separate one from another. This says four basic things. He's going to sit on his throne. All nations are going to be before him. He's going to separate them, and he's going to judge them for the beginning of the eternity that's in that last verse that was read a few minutes ago. When he comes, then he's going to do these things. Not 1,000 years later. Not 1,007 years later. When he comes, then. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you have any question about the time element, just remember that John 5:28-29 says, in the same hour, those that are unrighteous and those that are righteous shall rise for their reward. When Jesus comes, then those that are dead are going to be brought with him. Those that are alive are going to be caught up to be with him. And so shall they ever be. That's the beginning of the eternity. In 1 Corinthians 15:23-24, which by the way is the text that David Light will use tonight. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. Not the beginning of a reign on this earth, but the end. And he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Not the beginning of the kingdom, but the deliverance of the kingdom to God. When he comes, that's going to be the end of it, as far as this earth is concerned. He's going to deliver the kingdom up, present that glorious church to his Father. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You don't predict it. In the which, notice this, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and that little word also is important, not just the things in the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When the Lord comes, There's going to be the judgment. There's going to be the resurrection of all. There's going to be the separation of the sheep from the goats. There's going to be the end of this earth melt with fervent heat. There's going to be the beginning of the eternity. When then? When he comes, then is when these things are going to happen. Several years ago, before I moved here, one Sunday night after I went home from church, turned on the television, Jerry Falwell was speaking. I remember one statement that he made. It caught my attention. He said, "I know that the end of the world is at least 1,007 years in the future." What he meant by that is time for the rapture and time for the millennium, the millennial reign on earth. There's not room for 1,007 years between the when and the then. When he comes, then. Not room for these things. If you turn on your television set today to a religious program, likely in 90% of them, you're listening to a man who believes that Jesus is coming back to this earth and set up an earthly kingdom and reign here. There is not room for that between the when and the then. I don't have to know a person's scholarship. I don't have to know all the details of what he's teaching on these things. And don't misunderstand me. I hope you'll take advantage of lectures this week on the rapture and Armageddon and the 1,000 years and things like that to understand the eras that are involved. But I don't have to know all about those things to know it ain't so. When I know the when and the then. When he comes, then. Let me illustrate. Suppose I were to get a call this afternoon from a fella and he says, "I am coming to the Fried Hardeman lectures and I intend to spend the week in the Landmark House." Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Landmark House was the house that was sitting across the parking lot here at the end of the Bible building there where they've made a parking lot that you'll appreciate this week. I don't think it melted with fervent heat, but it's gone. And if somebody calls me today and says, "I'm going to spend the week in the Landmark House," I don't have to know who he is. I don't have to know anything about him. I know he ain't. Because it's not there. Suppose I get another call Friday at 11 a.m. If the chapel speaker's not too long, the lectureship will be over around 11 or a little after on Friday. And I get a call at 11 and the voice on the other end says, "I'm so-and-so and I'm coming to the Fried Hardeman lectureship and I'm going to spend 6 days in the lectureship this week." I know he's not. I don't have to know who he is. I don't have to know anything about him. I know he's not. Because it's over. When we show that there is no time between the when and the then, and we show that the earth is going to melt with fervent heat when the Lord comes back, we know that none of these other things we've mentioned can be true. There is no room. There is no time, and there is no place. Because when the Lord returns, then is when the eternity is going to begin. Now, I want you to be sure you understand one thing. I am not as concerned about meeting religious error with these two words as I am stirring us up to think a little bit. Because, you see, if there is no time between the when and the then, and you and I are not ready and the Lord returns, we're doomed. That's the bottom line of it. And when we encourage people to obey the gospel and be baptized into the kingdom of Christ, we want you to get into that kingdom that's a reality now that's going to be delivered to God then. And when we encourage you to get your life right as a Christian, we're encouraging you to be ready so that if the Lord comes in the next 5 minutes or it's 1,000,000 years from now, you'll be ready. And that's what matters. When he comes, then is when we'd better be ready. If you're not, get ready by coming as together we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?